Andrew Schneider on KRLS Radio. This interview powered by Hy-Vee here with head coach of the cross country teams, Doug Cutler, and guest color commentator for the regional semifinals of volleyball. Coach, obviously, we expected things to go really well, and they went about as well as expected at the state qualifying meet this past week and this past Wednesday. Your girls just a few spots away from a perfect team score. Your guys, considering all the health issues they've had in terms of just illness, put together one of their best races of the season. Obviously, a great way to send yourself to Fort Dodge.
Yeah, do I add color commentary to my resume now?
Put it on the business card.
That'd be fantastic. No, very, very pleased, obviously. You know, we certainly... we knew we were the heavy favorites in that particular race. We knew that even from an individual standpoint, we were going to be very far up. And you know, we knew we could put a lot of people in that all-district territory. And so, again, it was this opportunity to improve ourselves, to push ourselves to who we can be, even when we not necessarily have a lot of people pushing us to our very limits. And that's okay. You know, that's part of distance running and that mental training and aspect of it. So, yeah, start with the girls, all seven, obviously, all district. That's incredible. You know, we'll feel, you know, a little guilty of the great runners who are finishing in 16th, 17th, 18th who don't get that honor because one team is taking so many of those spots. But from top to bottom, I mean, obviously Marissa breaking the all-time state record again, you know, no dispute on the length of our course to even debate. It's a fast course by all means, not a lot of elevation change, very gentle elevation change. So certainly a course you can do that on, but the state course is very similar in that respect. So, you know, very proud of what she's accomplished and what she continues to push herself to do. But Elsie and Ruth also having outstanding races. Right behind her, going 1-2-3, pretty impressive. And Lizzie getting fourth, Lizzie Vandervoort. You know, I know that some people might even look at our conference race and like, she ran JV at conference. And there were some reasons we did that and some training and mental training that we were trying to accomplish. And I think mission accomplished was shown there as she finished fourth in that race. Then Carly, Lizzie, and Mara just doing fantastic. You know, Mara hasn't felt the best. We have not seen Mara's best for a couple weeks as she's been ill. She's getting better and better, and she can really pull off what some people might consider a surprise at the state meet where she can finish. I think she's capable of finishing on the podium if she's 100%. If any of them have a great day. We talked this morning, we're kind of excited about this aspect that the state is recognizing a second all-state team this year. The first 15 runners will be all-state, and then the second, there'll be a second team all-state 16 through 30. So, you know, I would bet one of our girls might finish very well in that 16, 17, 18, 19 spot because they have three or four teammates in the top 15, and then all of a sudden they don't get to be all-state because of that. But now they will. They'll get to be second team all-state. And I kind of want to go back in the history and make sure Autumn Blink is recognized for a couple second team all-states because where she would finish historically. So, yeah, ask the girls. Do you want me to keep going, or you want to ask questions?
Let's go, boys.
Go to the boys. I mean, what, you know, Kanan, 15:05. You know, he felt a little challenged by that restart. You know, they went a full 100 meters, and the adrenaline's going, and you're ready to go, and he obviously was free and clear. So he actually probably went 120 meters, 130 meters before that restart occurred, unfortunately. So that's an interesting thing. I admired how he handled it, how every athlete handles those things, and you just, you know, it's just what it is. You know, the boys, as you said, the boys were getting healthy, especially, you know, Devin and Caden Brown, Aaron Hellbush not getting to run at conference because they were ill. They're not 100% yet. Quite admirable, actually. I would never have guessed Devin Brown would have run as fast as he did 16:35. Not being 100%. Aaron Hellbush, you know, I've talked with him repeatedly the last few days of how proud I am of the. He was willing to put himself in a position that, you know, 17:30 is not what he wants to run at a state qualifying meet. That's not what he's capable of. But given that was his first race since the Heartland Classic. I mean, we needed to be smart, and we needed to not tear the body down and do anything that was going to, you know, undo the progression that we're trying to work up to for the state meet. So really happy with how we approached the meet. And then our younger runners did very well, too. I mean, Mason and Noah getting to finish all district. Devin obviously finished all just with four all district runners, two in that 16 and 17 spot just outside it. I think that they have almost, you know, the coaching mental aspect of you always take everything in sort of a Ted Lasso way, and you try to find the positive spin on anything nowadays, which is good. And those guys finishing 16, 17 just gives them that little extra fire to be a little bit further up at the state meet, because we're going to need our A game at state to do what we want to do.
Here, Doug Cutler, head coach of the cross country teams. This interview is powered by Hy-Vee as we talk about the Dutch ahead of the state meet. And before we get to the state meet itself, a little bit of heartbreaking news. It was broken to me at Walmart just a few hours before we were at the sports park. Reagan Snyder, one of your all-time great, not just runners, but kids to have on your team, will not get to run at state. She didn't run at district. A very late season stress fracture. Knowing her injury history and all the above, would have loved to, I know, have her finish at Fort Dodge. But really incredible that the girls, A, were able to show off their depth and really not miss a beat from a competition standpoint, but clearly missing probably the heart and soul of this team on the course coming up at state.
Yeah, you don't want to overblow. There's many tragedies in the world that are far more important than running a cross-country race, but it was heartbreaking for the team. All the girls and the boys just love Reagan so much, and they respect her so much, to have the opportunity sort of snatched away and her not get to run. It was an emotional moment for us, and some even carried on, I think, to that the race on Wednesday for the first time we're running without her. And so that's something, again, I think that we will work through. Reagan is still a part of the team. She's with us in spirit. She's coming to practice still and rooting on the girls. I mean, she is our number one cheerleader at this point, and very much a part of what we will accomplish here moving forward. But yeah, at this point, she's not going to get to realize it. She knows who she is. She knows what she can do. She knows that she very well would have finished in the top 15 and been on that podium all state. So that's how we think of her. That's how she thinks of herself, and proud of everything she has contributed to this team and will continue to contribute. We're just going to get her healthy for track season.
And then the races roll on, and let's start with the girls' race. And you and I have talked for, 8 or 9 years now, and there's been a lot of intrigue about what's going to happen. A lot of, we need to do this, this, and this. I can confidently say that you're going in with full expectations that you'll have the first place trophy, and it'll be a significant margin. And it's crazy to think about, because in the context of this program, you've had many heartbreaking second place finishes and teams that were excellent that missed state and all the above. And now here you go setting into state week with full confidence that this team is not just going to perform, but perform well. Marissa is chasing Peyton Owe again in the all-time state record at the state meet course. You've got Elsie and others, as you said, Ruth, that could be in the top 10. I mean, there are other teams that are going to be there. And it's a pretty good 3A field, Coach. It's just remarkable how far your program has come.
No, there are certainly programs that I don't know how they would describe how they feel, because they are state championship-worthy programs. What Mount Vernon, Lisbon, Sioux Center, I'll forget somebody if I try to name everybody, but they should be of a mindset of this is a state championship level squad. And our focus is going to be having the best race for who we are. That outcome is going to be what it is, but we want to continue to build. Again, our discussion back in May, I think I've mentioned to you, was we want to put ourselves in a position where state qualifying and state are what they are, and that NXR, the national cross-regional race, is kind of something that's in our sights of how well can we compete there. We were 20th last year. Can we be a top 10 team? Can we be a top 5 team? Could we possibly be top 2 and qualify for nationals? So this state meet is a step in that progression still. But if you look at what we've done historically the last few years, where we've had a ton of success, we've won a couple state championships in a row, and you look at what this team is currently running compared to that, it would almost seem movie-like or a dream-like. But having lived it with the ladies, having gone through this the last few months with them, it's people start to ask me what the magic is, and it's not magic. It is daily, consistent effort, knowing when to push, when to recover, how to handle our nutrition, making sure we get enough sleep, making sure we are developing the relationships still. I'm very proud of that we've reached this level of competition, and yet the relationships that they have with one another is still the most crucial thing. That there's a spirit to cross country that I don't believe you can have success without it existing. It's not 7 individuals running their best time. It is a group of one running for all of them, that there's something, you're part of something bigger than yourself. And I don't think any one individual achieves that optimization or that peak without all of them. So, and again, you know, Dana McCullough and Bryn Paulsen are our alternates right now. Reagan's not going to be able to run, but if they need to step in, they're still with us every step of the way. There are other, you know, there are other girls that certainly are deserving. We had 19 girls run 22:30 or faster this year. That's just an insane number when you used to think it used to be about, you know, just the varsity group could do that, 7 or 8 or 9 girls. And now there's just this crowd of people pushing each other and raising that tide to an extraordinary level.
And then on the boys' side, it may be a twist of irony that as good as your girls are, the Gilbert boys are on the other side, and they're a phenomenal regionally, you know, competitive team. And your boys then have to kind of take that other pill to swallow, right? That the state championship seems like it's, if it's not out of reach, Coach, I don't want to put anything beyond you. It's certainly way out there, and it would be a huge, huge, huge day. And your guys are racing for second, and I have to understand that they could be, if they run a really good race, state championship worthy again for the second consecutive year. And of course, we'll talk about the battle in a second at the front.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the phrase I've used constantly is we aren't certainly going to hand them the trophy. They're going to have to take it. They're going to have to earn it. And the Gilbert Tigers are certainly that team that, I have no qualms with anyone who looks at their team the way that maybe teams are looking at our Pella girls. But this team is capable of great things. If we are 100% healthy, we will run our best race this next week. I feel very good about our training. I feel very good about our headspace. I feel very good about the team unity right now, that they can have their best race at Fort Dodge. And obviously, we're probably competing trophy-wise, but more along the Des Moines Christian level. And that's kind of where our discussions are more of where do we need to be in relation to those two packs, because Des Moines Christian has been running extremely well the last month. I'd be shocked if anyone would pick us to beat Des Moines Christian right now on the boys' side. But we certainly know what that path looks like. We know what has to be done to accomplish that. And if that then propels us to a placing where things are not what people think they're going to be, then we'll certainly enjoy that as well. But the focus is to be the best version of ourselves. That's number one. That's foremost, getting healthy, being able to compete at the level that we accomplished. I mean, again, I know each of these boys, they understand the circumstances of cross country, that you can't control anyone else. You can only control what you do and how you do it. And they're taking those steps properly. And I want them to finish the state course at Fort Dodge knowing I did everything the way that I could to be my very best on this day. And they'll be very satisfied with that, because they're doing that well, and it's just where our headspace is right now.
You're Doug Cutler, head coach of the Pella cross country teams, and it gets to the final main competition that we'll talk about. I mean, I don't want to hand Marissa the trophy today, but clearly Marissa Farabee is not just an overwhelming favorite, but could run the fastest ever race at state on the girls' side. On the boys' side, Kanan Dunham does have a challenger, and Quentin Nauman, the two tussled in track and field this past season and got to see each other early this year at Cedar Rapids Prairie, which doesn't always happen in these individual races. Last year, he didn't get to see Ethan Eichhorn until state. No doubt Kanan has been training to beat one guy and to really have an opportunity to duel with the best of the best. And hey, that's all you can ask for, right? Two elite runners who will be at huge programs sometime in a couple years, they get to battle it out in Fort Dodge.
Yeah, certainly don't want to leave out Caleb Tempas of Des Moines Christian and Grady Olberding of Mount Vernon Lisbon and many other great runners in the state. But the discussion, you know, outside of the teams and in the fandom, obviously, is Quentin and Kanan. And, again, like you said, it was a fabulous race to start the year. Quentin obviously got the advantage there the last 600 meters of that race, and we've done plenty of mental preparation in that regard and plenty of physical training, obviously. I feel really good about where Kanan's at. I feel really good about the plan he and I are putting together, and mostly his belief in that plan. It's so important that the individual has a visualization of what they want to accomplish and how they want to do it. And we're certainly not going into this with a sense of randomness at all. We know what Kanan can do. We're going to be planning toward his strengths, not anyone's fears of how a race might be lost or how things can go wrong. You plan for the best. You focus on what you can do. And Kanan's running fantastic. He's got a wonderful support system at home. He has a wonderful support system with his teammates. They want the best for him at all times, and that's what we're going to be shooting for. So, it's going to be a memorable and fantastic race regardless of the outcome. I have no doubt about that. But, the hope is to come home again with two individual state champions.
And of course, he's chasing a little bit of history too with Zach Bukai and his all-time time. We'll see if he's able to match that. Got very close last year. My guess is having a big push from Quentin and others won't hurt there. And then lastly, I know I kind of wasn't trying to be dismissive of Marissa and her history, but what a remarkable, remarkable young lady and what she's done, not just obviously as a runner, but as the leader of this team and including the rest of her teammates on this rise. And talk about chasing history. 2 years ago, when I saw Peyton Noe run sub 17 and witnessed that race, Marissa was on that same course. Had a great race that day too. I didn't think that it would be Marissa Farabee not just chasing that but potentially demolishing that low mark. And I know year to year the course has changed, the weather's changed, there's been a lot of social media hubbub about it, but clearly Marissa gets to establish herself potentially as the greatest of all time and one step closer possibly in Fort Dodge.
I don't even know what to add to it, to be quite frankly. Again, super proud of what she's done and how she's done things. On all her individual accomplishments, again, I will first and foremost say that she has been integral in accelerating the entire program of bringing all the girls along, including them in everything that she does, sharing her experiences, learning from their experiences. She's not closed off to any information or learning or anything that she can take advantage of to help improve herself. So, she admired and looked up to Peyton Noe so much those years watching her run. And she still sometimes, she herself, I don't think, would say, oh, I'm better than Peyton Noe was. Like, that's not how she thinks. I mean, she's just trying to be the best version of herself. And you look at those all-time greats before. And again, I know Addison Dorenkamp, she really liked her and has enjoyed working toward being able to do that. How many coaches come up to me after races and they just enjoy watching what she can do and what she's doing. It brings joy, I think, to everyone who watches. And so that's another thing I think that just people can underestimate is the joy anyone in any uniform when they are accomplishing their best and showing something extraordinary. It does bring happiness and goodwill to everyone who's seeing it. And so that's just something that I enjoy being part of, obviously, and being any part of her journey at this point, because it's still just her junior year. I mean, we've got a lot ahead of us still. And I always talk to every one of my athletes, I don't care who it is, that this is a four-year journey that I get to walk with them, and I get to see them grow as people, I get to see them grow as athletes, I get to see them grow, form relationships of people who are going to be in their weddings, who are going to take care of their kids when there's, help them. And you're just trying to build that family atmosphere that it's going to go beyond the 4 years that they're within these walls at Pella High.
Well, it should be another special day in Fort Dodge. It's head coach of the Pella Cross Country Teams, Doug Cutler. This interview powered by Hy-Vee. Doug, always a pleasure. I'll get to see you. This will air shortly after you're done planting some tulips, so I'll get to see you coming up here Saturday morning. And then, of course, Friday morning in Fort Dodge. I won't miss the potluck or anything else around that. I can't wait to be there with some of your best friends in the world and all the supporters of Pella Cross Country, and another special day awaits us.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're looking forward to it.